from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I am thrilled to be with you this morning on opening day 2019. Disregarding those two games in Japan between the A's and the Mariners last week that actually were the first games of the baseball season. This is opening day for the Giants and 28 other teams besides the A's and the Mariners today. Just a little bit about this show. We provide modern and insightful Giants analysis presented in a way that's easily digestible. So we're not going to overwhelm you with crazy numbers, but we are going to look at the game in a modern way because a modern game needs to be analyzed in a modern way. If we're still looking at batting average, home runs, and RBIs as the primary way to evaluate a hitter, that is a completely outdated approach and we're not going to really understand the modern game, or we're going to have opinions that do not align with what teams are actually doing to evaluate their players and make the decisions that they make. You can get Locked On Giants Baseball on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. And again, every day, all season long, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes, we are going to have that modern, insightful Giants analysis for you. And today, being opening day, we're going to talk about, first of all, what to expect and look forward to in the 2019 season that gets started in a matter of hours if you're listening to this in the morning. And then in the second segment of the show, we're going to take a closer look at Farhan Zaidi and the process that he has put in place here for the San Francisco Giants, because it is a very unfamiliar process. I think this has been the weirdest offseason that I can remember the Giants possibly ever having. And a lot of these flurry of moves in the last week, and then those guys making the roster, I think it's kind of bumming people out a little bit, and people are pessimistic, but I'm going to instill some faith in the process in the second segment. But first of all, we want to talk about the season. And to me, what is goal number one and priority number one for the San Francisco Giants? Well, that is to win. Their goal today is to win on opening day, and their goal tomorrow is going to be to win the second game of the season. Even though in the last episode we talk about projections, we talk about 72 and 90 kind of being the mean average projection for the San Francisco Giants in 2019, goal number one is to win. And if they rip off 10 wins in a row to start the season, they're going to have a full head of steam trying to win. That is the goal for everybody involved. I do not believe they are tanking intentionally. I just think that their roster was in such bad shape that the decision that needed to be made wasn't to just acquire a bunch of additional free agents to fill in the gaps that wouldn't have made enough of a difference. They need to churn out young players who they can control at a reasonable price for multiple seasons. They need to infuse some youth and some athleticism and some talent onto the roster. But they're going to try to win with the players they have. Certainly, Bruce Bochy is going to do his best to win every single game. But what's going to happen if that doesn't happen? If they struggle, if they're not contending for a postseason berth, well, trade discussions are going to start to become a big deal around the San Francisco Giants. We're going to see Madison Bumgarner's name come up in trade discussions if the Giants are not contending in the summer. We're going to see Will Smith. We're going to see Tony Watson. And just a caveat, based on the time I'm recording this episode, it's very possible someone like Will Smith could have been traded by the time you're listening to this. So if that has happened, I do apologize for sounding like an idiot. But the second thing I'm going to be very, very interested in seeing is which of the players that Zaidi has acquired, whether it was via trade or waiver wire pickup or minor league free agent or major league free agent. And I'm trying to think if there were even any major league free agent signings. Most people were on minor league deals, but yeah, like the guys they signed who we know about and who are like established major leaguers were a couple of starting pitchers in Derek Holland and Drew Pomeranz. And then they also brought in Yonhervis Solarte and Gerardo Parra and like Cameron Maben, who has since been released. But Parra, Solarte, Holland, and Pomeranz, like there really weren't many consequential free agent signings by the Giants, but they made a lot of little minor tinkering moves. The addition of Mike Gerber comes to mind. Some of the bullpen guys were picked up in the Rule 5 draft, and those guys made the team. Travis Bergen, Trevor Gott. And then, of course, the weirdest part of all, Michael Reed and Connor Joe being picked up in literally the last 7 days prior to today, and they are on the opening day roster. It's a very bizarre scenario. Normally, the Giants of the past, you know, were done with their offseason by early January at the latest, and we just kind of twiddled our thumbs until the season started, knowing kind of exactly who was going to be on the roster and especially who were going to be the starting players. But then there wasn't that additional layer of depth. It always was a concern, like what happens if this guy gets hurt in left field or second base or whatever the position was? Who the heck is going to come in and fill that spot? So this has been a very, very different approach. And my second major question and anticipation ahead of the start of the 2019 season is which of those players that Zaidi has acquired in the offseason or that he will acquire during the season is going to outperform most people's expectations. I have full confidence in Farhan Zaidi and his ability to build up this franchise in the long run, which is exactly what we're going to get into in the second segment. But it seems to me that a lot of fans do not buy into what he's been doing this offseason, which is why I really want to take the time to explain why I think he does deserve our full confidence in the second segment. But among all the players he's brought in or will bring in, who is going to establish themselves as a quality major league player and in what capacity? Like, can Michael Reed be a really solid athletic outfielder who hits left-handed pitching well? It very well could happen. I looked at his minor league numbers, and he does have a better track record against left-handed pitching than right-handed pitching. We know he's a good outfielder. We know he's athletic. We know he's fast. For Connor Joe, looking at his minor league numbers, he's actually been better against right-handed pitching. So this is not a situation where we're going to see him like platoon with Gerardo Parra or something like that. That might be more something that Michael Reed does, although you would also think he would potentially platoon with Duggar. So the outfield is full of question marks, but I wouldn't be surprised if Connor Joe kind of just gets put in left field on a semi-consistent basis just to see what he can do offensively. When Zaidi's talked about the breakout of Max Muncy and people want to set him up to take credit for that, and what he has said in response to those questions is that the thing that he's most proud of is not that they found Max Muncy, but that they gave him opportunity. And so I don't know if they see Connor Joe as someone capable of the heights that Max Muncy was able to reach last season. They probably don't, because I mean, they might. I don't think they probably expected Muncy to do what he did. But the quote we read on yesterday's podcast about how he likes Connor Joe and Michael Reed for very specific reasons, and these are the type of guys he wants to give opportunity to, reminds me, it just sounds a lot like the type of thing he was saying about Max Muncy. So again, I am not expecting either of these guys to become a star-level player like Muncy became last season, but there's definitely intrigue, and this is definitely a different way of operating. So I want to know, A, are they going to win? B, if they don't win, get ready for some trades. And C, who among all these new guys is going to break out? Because I really do think at least somebody is going to establish themselves, and most people will not have seen it coming. Remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball on the brand new podcast app Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to dive a little deeper into Farhan Zaidi because a lot of people seem to be concerned about the approach he has taken in the offseason. But I just want to stress the point that this was never going to be fixed in one offseason, and we have to be patient, and I think he deserves that based on his track record. So that's all coming up next. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So with the 2019 season officially kicking off today, I thought it was important to stress my opinion that Farhan Zaidi absolutely deserves a little more patience than it seems some fans are wanting to give right now. I understand they didn't really make moves to like seemingly win now, but there's also the case to be made that some of these guys will help them win now. I think, you know, Jan-Hervis Solarte is an underrated player. I think Pomeranz and Holland are underrated players. Holland was sneakily very good last year, so re-signing him was a nice pickup. The bullpen is going to be very strong. They have better depth on the major league level and at the minor league level. Plus, we really don't know what they have in Connor Joe, Michael Reed, Mike Gerber, all these guys they kind of picked up who are not experienced major leaguers. But one of the things I want to mention is during the introductory press conference with Farhan Zaidi, they asked him, you know, what's your process going to be like? What are you going to do? And he talked about, you know, making one good baseball decision at a time and how you don't want to necessarily win the offseason in terms of making a big splash because those moves might catch attention, but they aren't necessarily the moves that actually make a team good in the present and in the long run. And to illustrate this, he mentioned the Oakland A's acquisition of Chris Davis in 2016 in February. And they gave up Jacob Nottingham and Bubba Derby to get Chris Davis, who has hit 40 home runs or more in all three seasons as an A, 42, 43, and then 48 last season. And that is a move that went to very little fanfare. There wasn't a lot of excitement about that move. I'm sure some other team made a bunch of headlines that offseason and people were probably criticizing the A's for not doing enough. And then lo and behold, they have Chris Davis, who becomes a total absolute offensive stud. So it's quite pertinent to mention that that is a move that Zaidi specifically singled out as the type of thing that they might be doing. They might be targeting a player who, at the time of that player being acquired, it doesn't generate a lot of excitement from the media or the fans. But lo and behold, if a player shows up on your door hitting 45 home runs, then you're going to get excited. And then you can look back at the deal and say, wow, I cannot believe they were able to pull that off. If you follow me on Twitter, you will see that today I posted a couple of links to the MLB Trade Rumors articles from when the Dodgers acquired Chris Taylor and from when the Dodgers signed Max Muncy to a minor league contract. And so these were like very low-key moves, did not generate a lot of excitement at the time. And then specifically, if you go down and read some of the comments from the fans at the time, they're hilarious because the fans are criticizing the moves for the Dodgers. With the Taylor trade, they said, "What? Seriously, another infielder? Explain this move, Dodgers, for one of your better pitching prospects?" And like a bunch of question marks. And then somebody else said, "This is why they should have traded that pitcher that they traded away for Taylor sooner. This was all they were able to get for him. We've been hearing his name a ton, and this was all you could get." So I just think, again, that's super relevant because first reactions from the mainstream just can be very wrong with a lot of these moves. And specifically, these are moves that Farhan Zaidi was involved with. And for Max Muncy, the very first comment is great. It says, "Sigh, dot, 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 more Dodgers front office wishful thinking." And so what did Max Muncy do as a Dodger last year? Well, he had a 391 on base and he hit 35 home runs. He was one of the best players in the National League last season, and that move went to very little fanfare. And it was Farhan Zaidi specifically. I've heard him directly say he texted Max Muncy and said, hey, you want to come play for the Dodgers? And Max Muncy said, sure. This was when he had been like released by the A's. So again, not saying that this is guaranteed to go right, but I am saying I think he deserves some credit and some patience. And I think we would all be better off just kind of accepting that this is the way he operates. The last thing I want to say about Farhan Zaidi is that he's more than just a man at a computer screen locked up in his office crunching numbers, because it has come to my attention that some people actually see him this way. But I have, I tend to watch like a lot of YouTube videos when the Giants hire somebody new who's a significant hire or they acquire a new player. I like to watch not only highlights of the player, but also like videos where they're interacting with someone or doing an interview. And so when the Giants hired Farhan Zaidi, I watched a lot of like YouTube videos of him giving an interview or talking in the broadcast booth or doing the postseason, like after the season press conference. And one of my favorite videos I came across was from during the season. I think it was last year. Yeah, it was definitely last year because Manny Machado was there. The Dodgers had their fantasy football draft at like Clayton Kershaw's Texas home. And if you don't know the story, Farhan Zaidi was in that fantasy football league and dominated the league year after year, won multiple titles in a row, which again is kind of telling of his ability to see talent where others might not see it. But the fact is he was at the house with tons of Dodgers players, like all of the big names and all of the non-big names were at this house. It was a huge event. And there's Farhan Zaidi hanging out with all the players and laughing and having a good time. And they seem to like him and he likes them and they're communicating and everybody's having a good time. So that's what makes Farhan Zaidi a very, very unique front office executive. And the people who have worked with him have said the same thing. Billy Bean has said he's unique. He's like the only person I know who can combine the skills that he combines, in that he's extremely intelligent and extremely capable and is able to get along with even the players on the team that he runs. So I thought it was a tremendous hire. I still think it's a tremendous hire. And I think that it's crazy to think that he just doesn't know what he's doing and this has been a terrible offseason and he was asleep at the wheel or something. Let's check back in after 2020 or 2021. And if the Giants don't have a really good roster coming in 2022, I will be very surprised. It's just that is the roster situation he inherited. It was a mess and it continues to be a little bit of a mess and it's going to take time. And I think at the very least, before we say this offseason wasn't enough, let's see what they have with the guys they brought in. Let's see how those players perform. So starting today, we actually can see how those players perform. And it's opening day 2019, Madison Bumgarner on the mound, live action, 0-0 record, fresh start for everyone. I cannot wait. I hope you're just as excited as I am. Just a reminder, this has been Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a new show with daily episodes every single weekday around 15 minutes. My name is Ben Kaspic. I've really enjoyed doing this episode and I hope you did too. If you liked it, please subscribe, please rate the show, please comment, leave a review. I would really appreciate that. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. I'll be with you again tomorrow with reaction from opening day. You can subscribe to the show on the brand new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.